who was not listening the previous ex. Okay, a few. So luckily, the talks are in the right order. So in the previous talk, we learned a lot about SysX images itself. I want now to explain how we integrated them in OpenSUSE Micro S. So my name is Thorsten Kuckuck. I'm distinguished engineer at SUSE, working for SUSE since far over 25 years and about nearly 30 years active as open source developer, started with glibc, so really low level, and I'm also leading the future technology team at SUSE. We are doing all the stuff which will be coming in our distribution in about 3 or 4 years about. So this simply SysX images. These are images which contain directories and files similar to the file system on your normal operating system. They only contain files in /user or /opt. So if it contains config files in etc, they are ignored. So a very good reason to adjust your application and make it thematic user safe. That would help everybody. And yeah, scripts, temp files, this users, all the things are ignored if you mount this ext image. There's limited support to restart services, but that's all. And the most important part is your SysX image will overwrite the files of the host OS for all processes. So if your SysX image comes with a vulnerable OpenSSL, it doesn't help that the OS has already the fixed one. All applications will again use the vulnerable one. And the dependency handling is not done on package level like with RPMs, but on a product level, so using etc OS release. And we had this discussion about if it is possible to create a SysX store with generic SysX images for different distributions working on all, that will be pretty hard to get that in a compatible way. Yeah. So on OpenSUSE Micro S, we had already in the past the problem you have your read-only root file system, and if you want to install your debugging tools to debug your running application, you need to create a new snapshot, install the RPMs in it, and then you need to reboot to activate it. That's, of course, not good to debug an application because the state changed its gun. So that's why we created a toolbox container. It's a privileged container and a script which is starting this privileged container. And then you can install all RPMs you wanted inside this container and debug your system. Disadvantages are you have only access to the running processes, but the root file system is different than the one in your container. And a second one is such a toolbox container is more or less the operating system without the kernel again, so it's big. And if then the network is not working, you need to get the container somehow with the tools on the machine. That's why SysX images are really great in this case. You copy your SysX image with your debugging tools on your USB stick, plug it in the machine, copy it on the system, enable it, and then you have the debugging tools as if you would install them on your read-only root file system on the system. So, do I have everything? Yeah. How to build these X images? In the end, we had two options. One is using self-written scripts or based on the scripts the Flatcar SysX recipes are using, or using MKOZ. So MKOZ has an advantage. It can build SysX images. It verifies that what is on the system. You need to define what is should not be in the image, what is part of the base system, and what should be additional in the image. And then it only puts this stuff in it. And that makes it really easy to build SysX images fitting for your OS. And additional, we are in the lucky position that OpenSUSE's build service has support for MKOZ images. So that's why I decided we build them for OpenSUSE with MKOZ. We enhance the manifest of MKOZ that it includes the dependencies. Okay, that will come later. The build service will sign the images and artifacts. We have a demo project where you can see already the images and use them. And we have tooling. The only missing part is the tooling to release these images as official OpenSUSE releases in the process. So you can add the devil project as source, but you cannot yet use the official OpenSUSE factory repos. That's currently work in progress. So how to update these X images? We prefer to use what is already there. Systemd comes with import CTL, update CTL, systemd sysupdate, and similar tools. I added support for one build service that's in systemd 258, so that's working out of the box now. You can download them, the sysx images, they are verified, they have some, the GPG key, everything. So that is secure, so we have the secure delivery fan, but except import CTL, they in the past they even worked only if you have a full image-based system. We don't have that with MicroS. That I fixed with 2582. So now it works, but it's not really useful to use this update or update CTL with these X images. And this is because these tools expect that all images have the same version number, which are assumes it's compatible and installed at the same time. That makes sense for the host OS itself, but not for additional sysx images. Linda doesn't look like if he trusted.
I mean, even though you use C as a programming language, you probably want to keep this close, but I mean, the extension release and OS release matching doesn't force you to
if you use this update, then it only works if all have the same version. It doesn't work if they have different versions.
Sure, but I mean, you have different components, right?
Like, yeah. That's why I said that we don't choose these tools, because keeping these version numbers in sync over different projects is nearly impossible. You even don't know who will provide these X images for operating systems, and that's why we looked at an own tool or a different way and decided not to use systemd sysupdate and update CTL and similar tools. Even if it would be nice to do everything with systemd itself and not have the need to do our own tooling for it. That's why I came up with this X Manager. It's a Varling service to manage the sysx image on your local system. In the background, we are using systemd tools as far as possible, so systemd pull to download it, that we don't need to rewrite all the downloading and verification stuff, and other similar tools. So this is already part of OpenSUSE MicroS as released today. We store everything in a global store in varlib sysx store currently, and have snapshot-specific symlinks to etc extensions.raw. So, dependencies. As said in the previous talk, I was mentioned, there is a file, extensions-release.name, which specifies which base OS you need. That could be the name, the version number, or a sysx special flag, where we currently code the version number of the glibc, so that we have a new glibc. We only use newer sysx images and not older one who, no, the other way is that if you have a newer sysx image, it doesn't get installed on a system with an older glibc, because most of the time that will create problems. And the problem is, this is a file inside of the sysx image. Now, if you want to get the dependency, if it's compatible with your system, you need to download them, loopback mount it, read the file, compare it with your etc OS release. If that is not compatible, throw it away, download the next file. And if you look at a Kubernetes sysx image, that could be several gigabytes per image you need to download. That's nothing you want to do. So our solution was to provide an extra file like repo mdxl, which contains already all the dependencies. So we create them at build time with mkosi. We enhance the mkosi manifest for it, thanks to Lucas' idea for that. Previously, we had our own JSON file. And so MKOSINOR is building everything we need to this X image, the metadata, our build service is signing everything, and yeah, that is more or less everything we need, so we don't need special tooling anymore for it. On the remote server, we have then the index files, signed one, which tell us which this X images exist in this build project or repository, and then files like in this example, S-trace for ARM, the manifest file, the signing key for it, the signature, and everything in that way. So we have some limitations. One is this X images with the same name and version must be identical. We assume that. With RPMs, we have the advantage that we have additional fields like vendor, project, epoch fields where you can make a little more things, and we locally store even where we fetch the RPM from. So, but with this X images, we don't have that. Maybe it will come later, but currently it's not implemented. We have also no automatic downgrade if you remove the image from the server because we don't track where it's coming from. Currently, we only support one installation source, but that's easy to enhance. And we don't currently track where the image are coming from. So, on OpenSUSE MicroS, we use transactional update. We have, it has two modes. On the one side, we can work with normal RPMs. So, we create a new ButterFS snapshot, make that read-write, install the RPM, or update with the RPM, make it read-only again, and with the next reboot, this is a new root file system. So, that's the atomic switch. Or you can deploy an OCI image, the content of it as root file system, and that means you create a new subvolume, copy the changes into it, and then you have it the same. So we have two sources, OCI images, RPMs. It can be easily rolled back because the snapshots are all read-only, so you just need to boot the old snapshot, and that was it. That's then the rollback. Yeah. Genau. So, as I said, we depend on heavily on ButterFS, the subvolume snapshots. That was the only supported file system. We started playing with VKFFS, but there are a lot of features we need is are not there yet. Yeah, as I said, we have a directory with a lot of subvolumes, and every subvolume is one version of the system. Since ButterFS is a copy-on-write file system, that's very space-efficient because the difference between the subvolumes are only really the changes. And we have tools which can diff the subvolumes, and then you easily see which configs got changed in which way and which RPMs are changed or updated. And the update of the OS is create a new snapshot, make that read-write, apply the RPM or OCI image. If there is no error, make that read-only and reboot into this. If something goes wrong, throw it away. And the advantage is the running system doesn't notice that there was an update in the background, that it failed or whatever. So an update doesn't hurt the running system. It cannot interrupt your running services. That will continue until you reboot. So adding the sysx images in this workflow is we update the system with transactional update like in the past. Then we have a plugin which reads the new OS release from the new snapshot, and then it tries to find the matching sysx image for it. If it is already in the global store, we create a symlink to it. If it is not in the store, we look at the server if there is one and download that one. If there is no matching image for the snapshot, then we let the update fail, because we don't want that, for example, Kubernetes isn't compatible with the next reboot and doesn't come up, but is missing. That's not what we want. And currently, rollback, if you only want to rollback the sysx image, you need to manual it with creating an older symlink. If you want to rollback the whole OS, you boot the old snapshot. This has a symlink to the old sysx image, so if you boot an older snapshot, you automatically use the old sysx image and not something newer. So the cleanup is, we go through all snapshots, count if a new image is referenced there, and if there is no reference, then we delete it. We looked at other solutions, but it was for our this part not that best one. For demo, I try to compile something. GCC is not installed, so I list the images. What is still missing in the tool is something like a progress bar, because downloading all the meta file in the background is still some time consuming. We have a list of images, so GCC looks good. It's remote, it's compatible with our system. So it gets installed. Okay, I really need to add some progress bars, make it faster. So now we merge the image into it and can compile and run the Hello World example. We can check for new updates. In this time, I stopped the recording and rebuilt the SysX image in the background. So we will see now a new SysX image for VCC. We can update it. Takes again some time. Okay, only GCC got updated. It's the only one we installed. We refresh the image so that the new GCC is yet used. And if you now call this extension list, list the images. We see that we have local the old one, which is still compatible. We have the new one, which is local and installed. And yeah. Okay, that's the end for my talk. Now the question part.
Thank you.
Are there any questions?
Questions? Yes, over there.
So we've seen two different SysX managers now from Fedora and SUSE. Does this mean that system extensions are going to be handled similar to Zipper and DNF? Where it's different managers handling it? Or is there any of this that maybe could be upstreamed into systemd itself to be common?
So my version could be upstreamed theoretically if somebody rewrites the code to match the systemd coding style policy. That's something I didn't follow, but I'm mostly using systemd or libsystemd stuff. I don't know about the Fedora version. It's today the first time I heard about it. When I started with my project around the same time last year, it didn't exist and I didn't found anything. So I have to look at it if there is something we can merge to in common, if it is something we can put upstream in systemd, I don't know yet. I need to look at it.
I guess the main thing is in SUSE you have the snapshot things. Maybe it's different in Fedora, so maybe that's the difference.
I don't think so, because that's two different things. So the plugin is in transactional update calling the X tool. So that should be doable with every other tool who is able to. The only thing is a cleanup process. That is clearly specific to the tooling.
Other questions? Yes.
You might have sort of already answered that, but how specific is the update manager to OpenSUSE in particular? Or could it be applied on any distro?
So this X manager is the only part which is really specific to SUSE is the cleanup part, where, and the part where we look at the, no, it's only the cleanup algorithm who is really specific to the transactional update. Everything else should work on every distribution.
Hi, it's not really a question, it's just a remark. In my opinion, most of this tooling is just duplication and not needed. Like, you already have packages, and packages are, in case of RPM, it's on, it's a CPIO, so the CPIO could just as well be an EROFS, which is already supported by systemd SysX, and then there's a bit of metadata in front of the RPM. That's what we need for the versioning semantics and stuff. So I think it would make more sense to implement like CPIO support in systemd sysx and read RPMs directly, and then use your package manager, in that case Super, and then on Red Hat it's Yum, and on Debian apt, just download the packages you already have. You don't need to convert them on server side, just download them as you have them, including GPG signature checks. All the versioning semantics are already there. You download them, extract them in a place where systemd sysx finds them, or just dump them there when it reads them by itself, sysx merge, and you have your packages activated. Like this is, it feels completely natural. Like you could even integrate that with your package manager, so you don't have to call a separate tool. You just super in, you're on a read-only system, and it magically puts them in overlay.fs. Same with apt. If you're on a read-only system, apt would just put them magically in overlay, and off that works. No extra tooling required, so just a remark.
I think the problem is CPU is not a file system, right? So.
So what you're describing is what RPM S3 does today, and we're going away for it, from it to this.
Yeah, so basically I see that this is using systemd session as packages. So this is sort of a package manager. Are you going to have dependencies, or like one extension depending on the other? Is that something that is expected to happen or forbidden, or is that a good idea?
I didn't really understand the first part what you said. Sorry.
Sorry. So, if you're using extensions as a package, as packages, this is a package manager. Can you have situations where one extension depends on another extension, or is that something that is discouraged? Because that was my understanding.
You cannot express dependencies between sysx images.
We don't
want
to.
That's why we don't do that.
We do not want to. Sorry, can I just say, I think the main difference is that usually sysx have multiple things. In a package, it might have just GDB, but that's not the case for sysx, right?
I mean, I think there's a certain disconnect. Like, when I designed sysx, I kind of wanted to change the semantics of... I just didn't want to replicate what RPM is doing anyway, right? So the idea was always that it should be a lot more cores, right? Like, there shouldn't be just one package and then it has the replacement in a sysx. It should always be like more cores, right? Like, because I don't even know, like, you know, if you usually have like millions, or maybe not millions, but tens of thousands of packages installed, and if you have so many file systems in memory, I don't even know if the kernel's going to like that. So I would always, like, it's not designed for that purpose, right? Like, it's designed for something more cores. And then the other thing is, you know, for me personally at least, one of the strong points about system extensions is always that it's DDI based, right? But you have authentication, you have measurements, right? Like, I think it's absolutely essential that when we apply something to the system, is like on the lowest level, that there's a authentication and there's measurement. So to me, it's always like, you can use system extensions also like from a plain directory, but for my view of the world, at least, it's probably more of a debugging feature, right? Like, I develop systemd, install it into some local directory and just activate it for testing purposes, but that wouldn't be so much a deployment thing. So, you know, it's free software, do it with it, whatever you the fuck you want to do with it, right? Like, invite everybody to do that. But I just wanted to make clear that, like, from my thinking behind it, it's a different use case. I see different strong points, I think, than other people see.
For our main use case is also debugging tools, getting them on a host OS with a read-only root file system. Additional now, Kubernetes.
Any other questions?
I mean, I very much sympathize with using this for debugging tools. I think that's a really good use case. It's one of the ones I had in mind as well. But I would always have done, like, basically that you package up the GBD RPM and the strace RPM and the BPF tools RPM as one sysx, which you call the debug.
We have a debug sysx which contains exactly VDB, strace, and everything else.
Because it kind of got the impression that strace was a sysx.
Yes, this strace is a single additional one for testing purpose, but not the one we officially ship.
So that's a different topic on one of your previous slides. You were talking about sysupdate. Yeah. And I understand exactly what the problem is there. I had the same with UKI, so that's something we should fix. Because right now sysupdate, when it downloads things, it tries to match to the host OS release. But it doesn't work with sysx or when you have just a UKI that's standalone, right? That's something we should probably look into. That's a problem, right?
Yeah. Yes, more questions?
Have you looked into sysupdate components? They specifically decouple the version.
You mean this enable feature and such things?
Well, you can do that. You can make a component an optional. Optional features are slightly different. But you can have user lib sysupdate .d, and that's your host system that's tied to your host system's version. Or you can have a user lib sysupdate.foobar.d, and then that has its completely independent version stream. It's not tied to anything. Have you looked into using that?
I looked at components, but I still had the problem with the version number. Maybe I too early at it, because it was an early 257 times, I think. But it didn't solve my problem.
Right.
Could be that change signs then.
I wasn't aware of that either, so I probably should look into that too, because it might solve my problem. Yeah, we should look into this. Sorry, but we need to cut. We are out of time. Yeah. Let's thank Torsten.